I want you to, when we start reading the scripture, I want you to see it's that it says, He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it sees Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelt with you and shall be in you. Did you see a lot of He's? He, the Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is often misunderstood. It's neglected or misapplied altogether. Because sometimes we don't want to speak about the Holy Spirit because we think it's very confusing to people. And I know a lot of preachers, they kind of veer off, they kind of stay away from it because they don't know how to maybe just, you know, speak about it and teach about it. But we're going to go into the scripture and we're going to talk about it. Yet the Holy Spirit, the essential person, presence, and power for all transformation of making us into the image of Christ is through the Holy Spirit. Is through the Holy Spirit. When we talk about God the Father, we can relate to that. We can relate to a father. When we talk about God the Son, we can relate to a son. But when we talk about God the Holy Spirit, oh, it's just kind of like we can't wrap our hands around or our head around the Holy Spirit. And people can't understand because they don't see it. They don't know about it. But because we can't visually see the Spirit. But when we talk about the Father and the Son, we can kind of wrap our head around that. But the Holy Spirit is God. He's not an it, but a person. He is the Godhead, person of the Godhead. He is in every believer. The Holy Spirit does today what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Jesus' ministry on earth was to what? Teach the things of the Father. That's what Jesus came to do, to teach us things of the Father. He explained the law. He showed people where their sin was, about sin. He brought comfort for those who believed. And so the role of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, is to remind us about the words of Jesus Christ. He is actively doing the work of Christ. And He was sent by Christ to indwell in believers. He lives inside of you and I. If you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He lives inside of you. The Scripture talks about that. So the role of the Spirit is like the role of Jesus when He came. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to teach us, to empower us, to see Jesus, to transform us into the image of Christ. It is impossible to do the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. Because when you read the Scriptures, you can't do this without the Holy Spirit. When we accept Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, and He lives inside of every believer all the time. All the time. The Holy Spirit is with you. God's Spirit is working in us. He's working in us to strengthen our faith in God, to strengthen our faith, to keep us standing firm in the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want to talk about with the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. We're going to read Scripture today because I really want you to see this. So I don't want you to go home and say, well, gee, maybe Pastor Tom just made all this up. So we're going to read Scripture to help us. So bear with us today. I tell people I'm not offended if you take your phone out and take a picture of the screen because there's going to be a lot of scriptures, and I don't expect you to memorize all the scripture, but you can write them down. You can take your phone out as long as you're not talking to your neighbor. You know, like you go out to dinner and you're with your family, your friends, and they're out there texting, and you think they're texting someone like in California, but they're actually texting the person right next to them. You ever notice that? But today, you get to take out your phone and you get to take the picture of some scriptures and the points. So number one point is the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not a force. It's not this inanimated object. The Holy Spirit is a person. There are a lot of believers out there that want to think the Holy Spirit is just an it. It's just a force. But the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you speak of the Holy Spirit, it's not an it, it's not an object, or it's not a force. Because if you speak of it as an it, you will stop treating him as God. Think about it. If you think it's just some force, then you won't see it as God. God is not a force. God is not an it. God is not some object. God is God. God is a person. God is one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want you to catch that. You will stop treating him as God if you think Holy Spirit is just some force of lightning or electricity or whatever it may be. Because since there are three in one, the way you treat the Holy Spirit is going to be the way you treat God. And you know, I never thought about it that way. Oh, well, I know God, and God's awesome, and the Son, Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, and then the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I don't know too much about the Holy Spirit. But what I want to help us understand today, the way you treat the Holy Spirit is the way you're treating Jesus, the way you're treating the Father. He's not a force, an impersonal being. The Holy Spirit is a person. Let's read John 14, 16, 17, and 26. If you can put that up. John 14. And I will pray. I want you to see this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see what? Him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Did you see all the he's? He, him, he, him. It's not a force. It's not an object. It's not just some lightning bolt. It's not. It's a person. It's a person. He, him. When I wrote this down, there was a lot of. He's our helper, our comforter. He, whom, him, him. He dwells with you, and so I want you to catch that. Acts 13:2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, the Spirit said, forces can't say, a table can't talk. Think about it. The Holy Ghost said, let's go to Acts 5, verse 3. We know this story about Ananias and Sapphira. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? You can't lie to a table. You can't lie to this bench. But you can lie to a person. So I want to just bring it out who the Holy Spirit is. It's a person. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I love this verse. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You can't be sealed by an it. You can't be sealed by a force. But we're sealed by a person. And you can't grieve a force. You can't grieve this bottle of water. So I think we've established the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. We're going to lay this foundation so that you can really grab a hold of it. When you walk out of here, you're going to say, wow, this is awesome. Because I think a lot of people don't put Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We kind of leave the Holy Spirit kind of out there someplace because we're unsure of him. So we're going to help us to be sure of who we're talking about. Holy Spirit is God. He's eternal. You know what eternal means? Without beginning and without end, always been and always will be. And so let's read Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I want you to see this. The eternal Spirit. That means without beginning, without end. He always existed. He wasn't created. He was always there. The Holy Spirit was always there. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. Psalm 139, 7 through 10. It says, Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent. He is everywhere, the Holy Spirit. Man. This is becoming a little bit more interesting as you start reading this and understanding this. The Holy Spirit is omniscient, knowing everything. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. But God hath revealed them unto us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I love this. Knowing everything. The Holy Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. When you open up your Bible in the morning, when you open up your Bible at night, when you open up your Bible anytime, we should say, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach us. Teach me. Why? Because there is nothing the Holy Spirit doesn't know. He searches out the deep, the inner things of God. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to spend time on this because, man, once we catch this, we're going to understand who the Holy Spirit is, and our daily walk with God is going to change. It's going to change. When no one knows the things of God, it says, except the Spirit of God. Wow. That's going to help you. When you wake up in the morning and you think like, oh, you know, I think this might be a bad day. You know, we get to go to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, you know how this day is going to be. You already have planned this day out. You're a part of what's happening. Teach me. Show me. Tell me, empower me, because that's what the Bible says. You know, our prayer every day should be, Holy Spirit, teach me, because you are the most important instructor of my life. If we don't see him as our teacher, if we don't see him as our instructor, then we're lost. But he wants to be that, because that's what he is. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Let's read Romans 1:3-4. All powerful. Concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Power, power, power. Power. Let's read Luke 1:35. Everyone knows this one? Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Let's read verse 36. And behold, cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called. Go to verse 37. For with God, here it is, for with God nothing shall be impossible. There is nothing impossible with the Holy Spirit. He's all powerful. The highest overshadows Mary. Hallelujah. He's all powerful. This is going to help you. When you get up in the morning and when you're going through trials, when you're going through something, I really want you to, hopefully you're taking a picture of this, you're writing this down as best you can. I'm going to go slow because when you need, you know, an answer to an issue or a problem or something going on in your life, just direction, the Holy Spirit is going to give that to you. But if you don't realize that, and you're fumbling away and saying, you know, I'm not sure about the Holy Spirit, we're going to be sure about who He is. Who He is. John 3:5. Another good verse. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It isn't possible to be saved apart from the Holy Spirit. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. Think about this. John 16:8-9. This is going to explain it even more. And when He comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. They believe not on Jesus. So who convicts, when you received Christ into your life, who brought that conviction to you? The Bible says the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit convicted you of sin and of righteousness, because Jesus goes to the Father. He goes to the Father because He was the sinless Lamb. He was the sinless sacrifice. So He gets, His Father accepts Him because He was sinless. And so He shows the world that He goes, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts us as non-believers. And then He shows the world that He was the righteous one, the holy one. And what He does, the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit then, you know, He convicts you because when you receive Christ, you are in a position with Jesus, right? You are righteous. You are holy. The Bible says you are set apart. Not righteous because of anything we've done, but the righteousness of Jesus. So like when you're walking through life, the Holy Spirit will say, you know, when we make some mistakes and we fall and, you know, we're struggling with something, the Holy Spirit comes to a believer and says, hey, what has Jesus done for you? You're the righteousness of God. You are holy. You are set apart. What has God done for you? How much? You know, so as a believer, He walks up, He speaks, because He's living inside of us, and He speaks to us out of our position in Jesus. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. He speaks to you out of your position of who you are. You're the righteousness of Christ. Not because of anything you've done, but because of the righteousness of Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. The Holy Spirit, it says in the Scriptures, we're not going to talk about it today, but the Holy Spirit reminds us, brings to our remembrance the things that Jesus has said. The Holy Spirit doesn't make something up. The Holy Spirit doesn't make a new thing up. He doesn't make a new, it says he reminds us of Jesus. So I want to encourage you as believers, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, He's saying, hey, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. This is what the Holy Spirit does as a believer in Christ. He's reminding you, bringing remembrance to you of who you are. You're redeemed. You are sanctified. You are set apart. You are holy and righteous. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. You have a king's inheritance. You start filling in the blanks. What scriptures has God brought back to you? Has the Holy Spirit reminded you of who you are? You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what we need to remind ourselves of who he is. This is why this message, this foundation, is so important, because when we walk through life, there's times when we think, God, I'm not worthy. You know, God, I messed up. I made a mistake. And, you know, I'm struggling with this thing in my life. And, oh, you know, but the Holy Spirit speaks to you and said, hey, we just sang about it. But God's love, but God's grace, but God's mercy. That's what he reminds us of. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. We all know that. We've read the scripture. And I tell everybody, but grace allows me to pick myself up and remind myself who I am in Jesus. Come on, church. We're not perfect. We're going to be perfect one day. That's when Jesus takes us home. That's the only time I'm going to be perfect. Sorry to say, church, you didn't hire a perfect pastor. But one day we're all going to be perfect in Jesus when we go home. But while we're here, I want you to catch this. The Holy Spirit is going to speak to you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to remind you. He's not going to make something up. The Holy Spirit can't make something up new, because the Bible says he will bring to remembrance the things that have already been done. I want you to catch who you are. That's a whole other series, and we've talked about it a lot. So are you getting this? Holy Spirit, he's awesome. And that was my next point. Holy Spirit is awesome. Now, he's not awesome like the words we use. Like, I love burgers, and I love pizza. You know, I have a problem of, you know, like, I spend a lot of time with our, you know, some of our leaders, and we go out on Wednesday night after our devotion and prayer and stuff, and I go to Venice, and I go, oh man, I don't know if I want a pizza or a sub. And subs, pizza, and burgers, the most unhealthiest things, right? And so I go out and I go, I don't know what to get. Every once in a while, the guy goes, Ben or Oleg or somebody will say, you know you're going to get both because you can't make a decision. And sometimes I do that. So, you know, sometimes we'll say, oh, that was an awesome burger. That was an awesome sub. That was an awesome piece of steak. Or that's an awesome car. But guess what? That's not the word that we're using for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you how awesome the Holy Spirit is. In the beginning, the creation of the world, it says that in Genesis 1:2, that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Hovered over the water. Now that is awesome. That's better than any burger, any slice of pizza you could ever have. He hovers over the water. And as I looked at that word hovering in the Greek, it says moved over the waters. And that word means brood, B-R-O-O-D. And it's to be, and what it means is, it's like an eagle taking care of her babies in the nest. It's like to be affected with a feeling of love, to cherish a tenderness. That's what brood means. So can you imagine the awesomeness of the Holy Spirit at creation when he's hovering and cherishing in this tender heart of love and looking at this mass that is void? There's nothing there. The Spirit of God brood over the shapeless mass, cherishing it, but then bringing it to life. That is awesome. That is awesome. That's the Holy Spirit. Think about that for a second. We read that scripture so often, But now you're going to have a different meaning of that. When we read that the Holy Spirit was brewed and hovering and moved, he was he, not it, not a force. He was cherishing this mass of nothing. He was loving on it, his tender mercy. How much more, church? You're not a mass of nothing. You are not a mass of nothing. You're Jesus' creation. How much more is the Holy Spirit hovering over you? That is awesome. The role of the Holy Spirit in a regeneration, in a new life of a believer, that we're a new creation in Christ. The awesomeness of the inspiration of the Word of God. He illuminates the Word. It's like putting a floodlight on the Word of God and say, wow, I never saw that before. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and say, did you see that, Pastor Tom? Did you see that, Oleg? Did you see that? Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Did you see that, Pastor George? The Holy Spirit is speaking to Barbara and saying, did you see that? He illuminates it, Elena. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want you to catch what who the Holy Spirit is. He sanctifies us. Sanctification of being more like Christ. The Holy Spirit does that. He empowers the gospel preaching of Christ. Acts chapter 1. Bring that up. We know the verse, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall what? Receive power after that the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, comes upon you, and he shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What is he doing? He's empowering the gospel preaching of Christ. He's bringing power to your words. When you're out there witnessing, when you're talking to someone about Jesus, when you're just hopefully loving on people. That's what we teach here. Go love someone. Don't take your Bible and beat them to death. Go love them. Because Jesus loved them. Jesus loved them. And as you love them, the Holy Spirit is going to empower you as you speak the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. There is power in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's role in life. Think about this. Did you ever think about this? So I'm going to say, think about this. But did you ever think about this? The Holy Spirit's role in the life of Jesus. Did you ever think about that? I never thought about it that way. We read about it. But think about the Holy Spirit's role in the life of Jesus. Luke 1:35. That is the incarnation. We just read it. The Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. Matthew 3:16. You can bring that up. He anoints Jesus for public ministry at his baptism. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the waters, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Holy Spirit. Luke 4:18, you can just bring it up, but you know, I'm not going to read it all. He leads and empowers Jesus for his earthly ministry. This is the scripture where he opens up the scroll, and he's reading it. You know, he's starting his ministry, his earthly ministry. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. What? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. Jesus just didn't walk up and say, I think I'm going to fumble through this scroll. No, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's come upon you today. If you know him, if he resides in you, and if you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit is empowering you. You can't do this on your own. If you think you're doing this on your own, I question if you know Jesus. Wow, those are bold words too, huh? Huh? Tell them. If you're doing this on your own, I question if you know Jesus. Because Jesus came because you couldn't do it on your own. It's only through Jesus Christ and what he's done on that cross, his shed blood, redemption, the atonement. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God. You have him, so don't mix my words. You have him, so you need to dig down and you need to tap into the well of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need you for this situation. I need you about this job. I need you about this marriage. I need you about this finances. I need you about my health. I need you about my children. I need you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We need him. And he's there. We don't have to go find the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not lost wandering around, because I want to explain it to us. The Holy Spirit isn't the spirit that's just floating around in Calvary. And we're all trying to grasp him. You know, like those. I'm not trying to grasp the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. And I know you have the Holy Spirit. So dig down and go into the well of the Holy Spirit. He's there. He's there. I gotta go on. I said I wasn't going to get excited, but how can you not get excited about Jesus and the Holy Spirit? So Romans 8:11, we know this verse. Max, you can just try to keep up with me. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, come on. If the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, I think he can help your marriage. I think he can help your finances. I think he can help you. With the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in who? Say it. In us. Come on, say it. I know you're out there. Come, yes, hallelujah. That same Spirit, oh man, come on, that's got to get you up in the morning and say, you just got to get up and run out of the house and say, I am ready for this life. We talked about the breath last week. Brother Evans talked about the breath, the breathing of life into Jesus in the tomb. Oh man, do you realize the Holy Spirit is breathing life into you every single day? I'm telling you, here. Let's just try this. Let's just go like this. Let's just take a breath. That was the Holy Spirit. You can't do this without Jesus giving you life through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Hebrews 9:14, the atonement. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. The eternal Spirit always was, always will be, never changing. That's God provided a way for mankind to come back into harmonious relationship with God through the sacrifice of Jesus, the atonement. Number four. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Oh, I love this. Do you know that the Holy Spirit isn't going to do anything but glorify Jesus? He's not going to do anything else but glorify Jesus. John 16:14. He shall glorify me, Jesus is speaking, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify Christ. The Holy Spirit points us to Christ. He understands his role in life, helping us to see Christ. That's his role. The Holy Spirit's role is to glorify Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to you and I in a very special way so that we understand how to glorify Jesus. That's his role. The Holy Spirit's role is to point us to Christ. Holy Spirit's role is to point us to Jesus. Why don't we receive some of the things we ask for from the Holy Spirit? Sometimes, you know, you ever ask the question like, oh, God, why am I not And I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit's role is only to glorify Jesus, then I think we have to be very careful what we ask the Holy Spirit for. Because if it's not glorifying Jesus, it may be a problem. You know, if we're glorifying ourselves, or just we're hoping or wishing, you know, I wish I had this, I wish I had that, you know, I wish things were better and everything. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to prayer for promotions in your family. We've already discussed that. But all that still has to glorify Jesus, because that's the Holy Spirit's role, to glorify Christ. And in that, the closest companion to Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Think about it. If the Father, in John 16, he speaks that the Father speaks to Jesus, Jesus speaks to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And if, can you imagine the closeness between Jesus and the Holy Spirit? And I just want to throw this out, that the closest companion to Jesus is us, but really his closest companion is the Holy Spirit. They're in sync, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So the question is, who's your closest companion? And if you say your spouse, or you say your children, some might even say my dog, because we put animals pretty high up there now. Pretty high up. I have nothing against animals. But when they surpass my wife, there's a problem. Or your spouse. But who is your closest companion? After listening to this, I want to ask you, you think about it. Who is your closest companion? Hopefully it's the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. See, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. You can't get any closer than that. That's why he's our closest companion. You can't get any closer than right here. You can't get any closer than right here. You can't get any closer than right here. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you excited like I am? Because it's helped me. Man, it's awesome. He's awesome. How would him, when you understand that the Holy Spirit is your closest companion, now I'm not disregarding Jesus and God. Don't go out of church and say Pastor Tom said it's all about the Holy Spirit. This is just one thing. Don't mix my words. But how will what we're learning today, how would that change your thoughts, your prayers, your expectations, your faith? Think about it. When you understand this, how does that change things in your thought process now? How does that change things in your prayers? As believers, the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual wisdom and understanding. He educates us. He informs us. He helps us to understand the Word, the Bible says. He empowers us for godly living and seals, I love this, he says he seals our redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, it says that. We read it. Ephesians 1:13, I think. He seals our redemption. There's a seal put on you. That's a whole other message. But if the Holy Spirit seals your redemption, and what if you look in the scripture, that word means when the kings would send a letter, they would pour wax on the letter to close it, and then he would take their ring, the insignia on the ring, and they would put a seal. It was a mark, right, Pastor George? And so think about this. I love this. You have a mark on you from the Holy Spirit. You're not lost someplace. God knows who you are because he sealed you. You have a mark. And the mark is the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. I'm not making any of this stuff up. I'm not smart enough to make it up. This is the scriptures. Hallelujah. You're sealed till the day that Jesus takes us home. You ever wonder why he's called the Holy Spirit? Sometimes I wonder, like, it's not Holy Father, Holy Son. You don't read it like that, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. After all this, it's because his job is to make you holy. It's to make us holy and righteous in God, not in ourselves, to make us a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians, we're almost done. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass or a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The role of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to behold the glory of God. That's what he teaches us. The Holy Spirit is teaching us, hey, I'm going to teach you how to behold the glory of God. Because my role is to behold Jesus, is to point you to Jesus. That's my role. And that's his role for us. It's to behold the glory of God, that we might be changed into the image of Jesus. That's his role. That's his role. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit is out there doing this? Man, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit is out there doing this for us? Come on, church. We can't do this on our own. And this is so awesome. Why? It's a free gift. You can't buy this. You can't put this together. You can't assemble this. You know, going to Walmart and buying this thing and it's trying to assemble it together. It's free. The Holy Spirit is free through Jesus Christ. Our last verse. Our last verse is Luke 11:13. And this is what we're going to end with. Hopefully you've got a better understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because, man, he is going to change your life. Luke 11:13 says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now this, he's talking about, this isn't conversion, he's talking about how much will you seek the Holy Spirit? How much will you seek the Holy Spirit? He's not talking at conversion of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about everyday desire for him to continue to move in your life. How much more? As natural parents, we're going to give great things to our children. So how much more with God, your heavenly Father, if you say, Lord, teach me more about the Holy Spirit. Show me more. What am I missing? So here's my question I'm going to leave you with. This is the question I'm going to leave you with. I'm working on my closings. This is my closing. And I'm right on. 1 minute behind. Here we go. This is the question. The Holy Spirit wants to fill every room of your heart. Every room. Now, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. We know that. But he wants to fill every room of your heart. So my question is, where have you neglected the Holy Spirit in your heart? Where have you neglected? And it could be just because you didn't know. And as of today, those are the three things I want you to look at. Where have you neglected the Holy Spirit? Have you neglected him as a person? Have you neglected him as a power? Have you neglected him in his presence? That's what I want you to think about. Because I have to think about the same thing. That's my question. I usually have two or three applications, but I think this one application is something that I think we have to work on. Where have you neglected the Holy Spirit in your heart? We're not saying you don't have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. But do you have all of His power? Do you have all of His presence? And do you have all of His person? That's what I want you to catch. So I leave you with that. And as we start this series, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm excited about this series. I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like this year is a new year, and God has spoken to this church at Calvary Gospel that new things are going to happen. We're in a new season. There's going to be changes. There's going to be things that God's going to do, and we've already seen it. More. I just want to share this. I know I'm working on it. But I want you to know, God has been confirming so much, like in prayer time. You know, we'll have prayer on Wednesday night, and we'll pray, and somebody will come up to me after, God gave me that vision the other day. Or somebody will come up and say, that's the word that God gave me. We were in prayer last Wednesday, and when you were praying, Elena, Phil said, he goes, I had that same word. And then that Elena had. And then the first word that comes out of your mouth is vision. He goes, I had that same word, vision, for Calvary Gospel. God is confirming everything. This is a new season. When God gives you something, He's going to confirm it, because God's doing a great thing. A great thing. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We know, God, you dwell in us. We know you reside in us. We know you habitate in us. That's what it means. So to dwell, to habitate. We know that you have made your home in us. Lord, the question I ask myself and as a church, Lord, where have we neglected areas that we haven't allowed you to be the presence and the power and the person of who you are? Lord, it's not a condemnation word. It's a word of encouragement. Say, Lord, I want the fullness of you. You are full. You're not lacking anything. But in my daily life is what I'm saying. In our daily life, Lord, we want all of your presence and power. And so we want it all. We want it all. We want all of the person, presence, and power. And that is our job, because that's you are. You don't lack nothing. And you don't give us half. But Lord, that we would examine our life and understand more and more about who Jesus is. Is through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.